Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newly named Jazz Jolt, the equivalent to the Midweek Podcast. My name is Ben Dowsett. I'm here with Clint Johnson. It's just going to be the two of us today. Clint, how you doing?
I'm doing great, although I'm kind of still in a funk after the Super Bowl.
I mean, me too.
One of the great beatdowns in history. I mean, the Seahawks just emasculated the Broncos.
I'm a Broncos fan. Are you a Broncos fan?
I am not, but I'm a fan of good championship round sports, and that was not
it. Yeah, even just that part was sad. But then, yeah, I'm also a Broncos fan. So,
oh, I'm sorry. My condolences.
Oh, it's all right. It was that was tough. But anyway, on better notes, there's lots of good basketball still going on. Not the NFL season anymore. So today, our subject is going to be trades. As the trade deadline approaches, it is exactly 2 weeks from now as we record this. By the time anyone is listening to this, it will be 1 week and 6 days until the February 20th trade deadline. And the Jazz are certainly among the teams that you might expect to be making some moves. They're certainly not trying to be acquiring any more talent or to get a whole lot better, one would think, but they have some players that might be able to help some veteran teams or help some contending teams out, some veteran players, and we're going to take a look at which players might be a possibility for movement, who might go where, and what teams might potentially be interested and what they might send back. So, Clint, we are going to start with some of, I think, the more likely players that might be traded, and specifically those are some of our veterans with maybe slightly larger contracts and who are not part of the long-term plan for the Jazz. So I think the first one we'll start with is Marvin Williams. Marvin has had a nice little renaissance season playing the four in the Jazz's starting lineup. He's been hitting his threes at a really good pace. And he's been actually playing some pretty reasonable defense considering that he's needing to guard power forwards all the time and considering how bad the Jazz defense is around him. So, Clint, in your opinion, what do you think are, you know, what types of teams might be looking at Marvin Williams? What might the Jazz be able to fetch in return? What are your thoughts on Marvin?
Well, I think Marvin is heads and tails more likely to be traded than any other team on any other player on the Jazz. This partially makes me sad because I liked the deal when the Jazz procured him from Atlanta. I was disappointed with his season last season, and I really enjoy seeing him have that renaissance season. I think he's a really good guy. I think that he's a good player who's just played under the burden of that second pick for such a long time, and I think that he's a useful player on the Jazz, quite honestly. I think that there are definitely some parts of the Jazz organization that wouldn't surprise me if they want to keep him. But that being said, if the goal is to get a top five pick, right now the Jazz have the fifth worst record in the league. They're projecting as somewhere between the fifth and seventh pick. They're right on the cusp of that area where you're letting your fate out of your own hands. And so if the goal is to get rid of a player that will make the team worse so they'll lose more games without getting rid of a future building block, the only player on the roster that really jumps out to me as fitting that and is likely to be traded is Marvin Williams. He's got a $7.5 million on his contract this year, and I think, I mean, that's not a small contract, but I think it's something that is doable. I think you can move that, and I think there'd be a lot of teams, especially with the spread of the stretch four, that would really be interested in him as a big off the bench, as someone who can play some time at the three, someone who can play some time.
Yeah, I was going to mention, do you think that teams are going to primarily look at him as a four now that he's shown that he can do that, or do you think teams are going to be more looking for a shooter at the three?
I don't think they're looking at him as exclusively a three or primarily a three. I think that the teams that would be interested in him are looking for a stretch four, or they're looking for a stopgap player who can give you time at the three or the four off the bench. That's my opinion. I don't know what you think.
For the most part, I would agree. I don't think they're going to obviously label him down to just any one thing. Now, the question from there becomes, what do we think the Jazz could potentially get in return? Like you said, we're not really trying to bring in anybody high salary. We're, you know, there's probably very few scenarios where we're gonna bring back more salary than we sent out. Although it's not impossible in there, and certain teams won't be able to trade with us actually unless we send them less money than they're sending us, because lots of teams are over the cap.
Right.
Do you think a second round pick is reason? Do you think we could get a second round pick for Marvin Williams?
I think a second round pick would be the lowest return that they would consider, to tell you the truth. And one thing I think that fans should kind of brace themselves for is I don't see the Jazz getting rid of Marvin Williams just to get him off the team to lose. I just think most GMs in the league have it built into their DNA that they don't give up their players for without getting value in return.
Yeah, you don't give up an asset for nothing. Even if it's not doing anything to help you specifically, you can't help another team by giving them a free asset,
right? Which
Marvin really could be for a contender or a pseudo contender trying to make a playoff push. This is just a random thought that I literally just came to my mind. What about a team like Memphis? Do you think a team like Memphis, and I would have to look really quick at what assets they have and what kind of a deal they could potentially do. They have a 2016 second round pick coming to them from Toronto. They have their own pick this year, which could range a pretty high range. If they were to take a slide and miss the playoffs, it could be a lottery pick in a stacked draft, or they could keep playing like they are now and they might end up with a pick in the 20s somewhere. That's just a floated thought, but a team that could definitely use some shooting on the wing and definitely some versatility and some athleticism in offensively in Memphis.
Yeah, I've actually thought of that, and I think that that's a plausible realistic scenario, because it wouldn't surprise me if they do make a move trying to bolster their bench, trying to get back to the playoffs, and I think Marvin Williams would make sense. So there's kind of a sample of what might be realistic.
Definitely. What about Richard Jefferson?
That's what I was just going to say.
Segwaying a little, yeah.
So I know that a lot of fans kind of have Richard Jefferson as like their number one guy. They would love that trade. I am in the camp that thinks that it's unlikely, and I think it's unlikely largely because he's making $11 million this year. I don't think that teams would necessarily be afraid to pick up that tab, because it isn't really the dollar amount that scares teams, it's the years on the contract.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, I think it's often more difficult to swing deals in reality than fans think, and the easiest way to do it is just swap a player for a player, and the ability to trade Jefferson's $11 million for a player who's making anything comparable to that, I think will be more difficult than some fans wish.
Oh, absolutely. And I think any deal involving Jefferson would very likely have to be something where the team with which Utah was trading was not over the luxury tax line, and was then, for those who don't know, if you are over the luxury tax line and you do not have a trade exception from making a previous deal, you cannot get 125% more salary in a trade than you send away. So if the Jazz were to send Richard Jefferson to one of those teams, because he's being paid $11 million, a team would have to send, about nine and a half back if they were over the luxury tax line, unless they had a trade exception.
Yeah.
So because of that, you are going to see a lot of teams, unfortunately, be struck off the list for him.
About Brandon Rush? What are your thoughts about Rush?
Brandon Rush is a possibility. I wonder whether he's had enough time on the court this season for other teams to have any clue whatsoever what he can do. You know, he had an injury over the offseason. Whether the fact that he hasn't played much as a result of that and still easing him back in, or whether he just hasn't been good enough to crack the roster, he's really not seeing a whole lot of PT, and I think we could see a move for Rush, especially because he's certainly not an essential piece going forward. But if we do, I have to feel like it'll be a pretty small deal. It might be a little cap-saving move, maybe pick up a mini trade exception from somebody, something small like that.
Yeah, I think that's realistic. The other thing about Brandon Rush is I almost wonder if the Jazz would be better served to just hold on to him and hope that they can get him on a good contract next year, because if he can get to close to anything what he has played in the past, he might be a really good piece.
Could be a bargain. I mean, they're paying him $4 million this season. If they were to get rid of, or if they were to be able to re-sign him, I guess it depends on how much other interest there was around the league, but if they could get him at a similar number or maybe even slightly less, he could be a fun bench piece. There's no need. I think one thing to stress, which I think you were kind of trying to mention before, the Jazz are not going to make trades just for trade's sake.
Right.
And they are not going to make trades just with the idea of getting a couple games worse for this upcoming draft. You know, if we can find a good trade that may, lose a win or two, but also benefits the team long term, absolutely. But I think the likelihood of that might be a little less than people think. But as we kind of segue on here and continue, talking more about maybe what might result in some larger trades if this were to be something the Jazz were to be looking into. Do you think that any of the core pieces are possible as a trade? And if so, which ones and what might we be able to get back? And should we be considering that?
I do think that some of the young core pieces are certainly gettable. And I think that we should absolutely consider it. I think that the Jazz are in a position to look at a lot of different offers, and honestly, I don't think they should be ideologues about it. I think they should look at everything and say, does this make us better? Does this get us more toward what we want to be, which is back in the playoffs, competing for a top, you know, 4-3 seed in the West, and hopefully being able to build toward competing for a championship? Anything that that leads us toward that point, I think they have to consider. And I think that means moving some of the young players if a good deal is brought up. So do you agree? And if so, which players do you think are likely to be traded or possible to be traded at this point?
I would agree in general, but again, with a qualifier of they really are going to have to get where the Jazz are not going to make a trade here where they're going to get fleeced out of one of these younger players. That I believe the only one of the core five that there's even a chance they might move for anything other than a first round pick would be Cantor, maybe.
And that has to do with the performance or lack of performance between he and Derek Favors on the floor at the same time, right?
Yes. And I think that's as much a result of other teams recognizing the problems that Cantor has had here this year in Utah and knowing that we can't exactly sell high on a guy who can't stay on the floor, pretty much. I think Cantor's a possibility, and I took a cursory look before we started around the league at some teams that might be interested in him. Of course, it's hard to gauge without speaking to some specific GMs and knowing who might be high on him around the league. Certainly if there are any Patino people out there in front offices, they might have, or excuse me, not Patino. Who am I, what am I thinking about here? Kentucky,
Calipari.
Good Lord. Brain fart there. You know, there might be some interest in him. Now, one thing that we had talked about really briefly, the Lakers could, you know, there has been just real soft chatter about whether Cantor might someday end up in Los Angeles because he's a, you know, he's got that sort of bright personality and all those, you know, conjecture and things like that.
He wants his own reality television show.
Exactly, so. Which I would watch in a second, by the way. What if, you know, a couple dominoes have to fall right for this to happen, but Kobe Bryant should potentially be back soon, and everyone knows that Kobe Bryant isn't too fond of losing. What would happen if Kobe came back? The Lakers maybe won a couple of games here or there, and maybe we're looking at having something more like the 10th to 12th pick rather than having where they are right now, which is somewhere in the top seven. Is it possible that the Jazz might want to try and grab that Lakers pick for Cantor, at least as a centerpiece of a Cantor deal? What do you think about that, Clint?
I think they might consider it. We would have to throw in the Golden State pick just because the Lakers have traded so many picks that they have to have one in the first round in this draft, I believe. But, you know, Cantor and the Golden State pick for something around 10, I'd really consider that, and I think the Lakers might too. It preserves their cap room. You know, it gives them a legitimate prospect big that is on an affordable contract to pair with Kobe Bryant, and they can go out and they can pursue a game-changing free agent. You know, they'll go after LeBron James. I don't think they'll get him, but they'll go after him. They'll go after Carmelo Anthony, you know. And if you have Kobe Bryant and he looks to play for another couple of years and it looks like that's what he's going to try to do, and you have Enes Kanter and you have another, you know, game-changing free agent, you know, maybe there is another, you know, dark horse push toward the championship. So I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Okay. How about, so if we, as we continue, and we will come back in a second to maybe a couple of specific scenarios regarding a couple of these younger players. You and I, Clint, before the podcast talked about a couple of specific ones we maybe wanted to bring up. But before we do that, what in general, with moving various pieces here. What targets do the Jazz have in mind? Are there any specific players? We had talked about maybe some veterans for next season and beyond that the Jazz could maybe bring in a leadership format, something like that. Are there any of those types of guys? And are there any, like, sort of like we were saying, are there any picks specifically that we should maybe be trying to, should we be trying to get a pick this year? How hard do we think that's going to be? Things like that.
Well, I think all fans have in their mind this idea of let's go out and let's trade and somehow get a top five pick either on draft night or, you know, let's fleece somebody and get that at this point. And I think that is a near statistical impossibility. I just think the chances of any team that thinks that they are frankly going to be anywhere in the top 7 to 9, maybe even 10, it would take a king's ransom to get any of those picks. So I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the specific teams that I would look to possibly, get in contact with would be the Cavs. Their GM, Chris Grant, was just fired, like, today, I believe it was.
That was earlier today. That is an awful situation over there.
Yeah, that team is just about everything that is wrong, that can go wrong, is going wrong there. And so
I wonder with them whether they are not trying to pretty much do the same thing the Jazz are.
Yeah, I think
they're really trying to maybe get rid of Waiters or Thompson, and right.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want those guys.
Right. So we already talked about the Lakers. I think the Celtics. I mean, you hear Celtics, you hear Hayward. What are your thoughts?
I have given some realistic thought to that in the last few weeks. Watching Hayward play, I remain unconvinced. I know a lot of people remain. There's a lot of different angles of this. A lot of people really like him and think he's just being used the wrong ways or overused. But I know, we know for a fact, Boston has pretty much come out and said it. There would be interest in him around the league, if not just from Boston, possibly from other places as well. And you have to feel like, given his overall skill set, that would be a player that could potentially fetch a valuable asset or two. And if that's the case, I do think the Jazz have to consider it. Boston, in their arsenal of assets, they do have a whole bunch of various different picks. Now, a lot of them have to do with swapping picks with certain other teams. Brooklyn will convey the less favorable of their pick of Brooklyn's pick this year and Atlanta's pick this year to Boston. So what that means is that Boston gets the worst pick out of Brooklyn or Atlanta's this upcoming year. Both Brooklyn and Atlanta are looking pretty good. They're gonna both most likely get into the playoffs.
Right.
Could look at that one. There's a 2015 first round pick from the Clippers, which is unprotected. Again, the Clippers are going to be good for a couple of years, barring a major catastrophe. So, and one piece I did look at that I do think could be beneficial for the Jazz in the future would be Avery Bradley. I'm really high on him. Adjusted plus minus rates him really high. I think that he might not add as much quality as we would think this year. Like, he might not add as many wins as fans would be worried about him adding. But if we had some kind of deal centered around him and Hayward, plus Hayward is definitely more valuable than him, maybe get a pick or two out of it as well. If everything's right, I think it could be a situation that you look into. But again, I don't think the Jazz are going to be pushing trading any of these young guys unless there's a definite real asset coming back to them, either in the form of a first-round pick or a real asset player.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we're almost out of time, but I do want to mention one other team because there are a number of different intriguing possibilities, and that's the Denver Nuggets. Because right now they are, what is it, only 2.5 games out of the playoffs,
Two in the loss column. So only two in the loss column.
Two in the loss column. They're a team that really does want to make a push. They're not trying to tear everything down. They've got a lot of solid players with no real, superstars. They're projecting now as having, something around the 11th or 12th pick in the draft.
Don't forget while you're saying that real quick, they also own this year's New York Knicks pick.
Oh, that's right. So with the dumpster fire that the Knicks have been, they may well have two upper lottery picks. And they also have Andre Miller, a name that is talked about by fans here and has been for several years because of his local connection.
But I think a potential – Miller might be a decent fit beyond his – beyond the fact that he played here in college.
I agree.
I think he's a slight but not massive upgrade at the backup point over Garrett and Lucas. I think that he's a great mentor for Trey Burke. Someone who, I mean, he's called Professor Andre Miller around the league. He's a very, very smart player. He's made a career out of using basically no athleticism to be a, you know, at least an average, if not above average, NBA player.
And he wants out of Denver.
And he clearly wants out of Denver, and most importantly, he does have another year on his contract next year. Now, in certain cases, teams might see that as a negative, but it's only just over $4 million a season, and given the Jazz's cap situation, the fact that they do have a lot of room, $4.5 million a season, for next season, it's going to be 4.6. I don't think that, and, you know, obviously, I think you could get him for a fairly cheap price because Denver knows they can't sell high because he wants out. I think that's one to definitely look at. The fact that Denver does have those two potential lottery picks, but that both of them are maybe projected in that 8 to 14 area rather than a top 7, that they might conceivably be willing to move either of those picks, probably not both, but maybe one. I think that the Nuggets are definitely somebody who the Jazz should be on the phone with.
Yeah, me too. So that's about all the time that we have. And my last thought before I turn it back to Ben is that there's a lot of talk about this trade deadline being epic, given so many teams that are tanking and want to get rid of assets, and the belief that that will make the contenders give them a chance to get some real talent at bargain prices. I'm not entirely sold about that, because if there's one thing that I believe about GMs, it's that unless they're put into a really horrible position where they're trying to save their jobs, such as Chris Grant recently or Colangelo last year, they do not like giving away their players without getting a good return. And I just think that there will be a lot of noise, but I don't think there's going to be quite as much fire as a lot of fans expect.
No, and I fully agree with you there. I think this is a common thing driven by the quote unquote hype machine. I think that you're pretty much exactly spot on. There will be some things are going to happen, but I don't know that we're going to see a blockbuster. I don't think that we're going to see a ton of, you know, good rotation players changing hands. I think we'll see a couple of things, but in the end, yeah, inertia, folks. Inertia is a thing in the NBA as well as in other places. It's a tough thing as a GM to pull the trigger on something like that when you're given the final okay, and, you know, if you're wrong, you might be Chris Grant out of a job in 2 years. So I believe we are now out of time. Clint, thank you so much for joining me, and we will be back next week with Jazz Jolt. I hope you like the new name, everyone. So this is Ben and Clint signing off.